Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Allahu akbar.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله بعثه في الأميين رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الله والجمعة مبارك ورمضان مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم أجر بليز fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before your time that you might learn self-restraint And report of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون حواه تبعا لما جئت به. صدق رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And an expression of it is, none of you truly believes until his desires are subservient to what I have brought. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We are in the blessed month of Ramadan, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the most sacred of months, the month in which the Quran was revealed, and we are celebrating by our fast the coming of Ramadan, but coming of the Quran more especially. This is the second part of the address under the title Reminders of the Rewards of Fasting and Ramadan. Last week we touched on hadith, the hadith that spoke of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted on Mondays and Thursdays. And the reason that he fasted on Mondays and Thursdays was that the assessment of our deeds are taken and they are presented to Allah on Mondays and Thursdays. And he says, I want to have my deeds presented while I'm fasting. We also spoke to how when we are at odds with our brother, our sister, whoever that might be, and we are not reconciled with them, those records, Mondays and Thursdays also include the days when the gates of paradise are open on Mondays and Thursdays, and everyone is invited into that. That is, that's what's open and available in the spirit for those who believe, except two people who are not reconciled. And so they would say everybody is welcome in, but not these two, not until they're reconciled. Not these two, not until they're reconciled. So it's an encouragement in those days also for reconciliation. You can see very easily, I believe, I hope that you can, that if you choose to fast on those days, think also about those with whom you are not reconciled, and then go ahead and do the reconciliation. You don't have to wait for Eid. You don't have to wait for some other special occasion. Make that a part of that day for you. I need to be reconciled today. It's for my own soul's sake, mashallah. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was his practice to fast 3 days in every month. And we know them as now, we know them by his message and example, Ayyam al-Bid. We know them as the white days. And those white days are the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, the days of the full moon, the days surrounding the full moon. Those are the days that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would most often fast. But when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about his fasting of 3 days, she said, that it didn't matter per se. The report was that it wasn't exclusively on Ayyam al-Bid. It was just, to be sure, 3 days of every month. But the ideal days, the best days, were the 13th, 14th, 15th, as we know, in the middle days of the month. And also, we spoke to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he detested, he found it, it angered him to the extent that the Prophet showed anger when someone went to excesses, even in things that they deemed to be good. And one of the ways, and inshallah at another time, and a kind of spoiler alert, inshallah, there is going to be a part three, inshallah. That when you understand the shaitan, mashallah, to the extent that he can be understood, you can't understand shaitan. It's only God that you can't fully understand. But you can fully understand shaitan with Allah's grace and help. For Satan is not God. So that should be clear. I don't have to argue that with you, right? So one of the reasons you can see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would detest that, going to extreme, thinking that you're being righteous, is that shaitan has captured you in some way to make you think that there's a better way of doing things than the way that you've been told and shown. If the Prophet has modeled for you a way, do it the way he modeled. You don't say, well, you know what I'm saying, you want to put spinners on a Rolls Royce. You know what I'm saying. It's like maybe something I don't know what that is. But it's so far gone. But you understand my point. Gilding the lily is another way of saying it. But the point is that there was a woman who prayed to an extreme, and the Prophet asked Aisha about this woman who she was with at the time, and the Prophet and Aisha radiallahu anha, she was like sort of lauding her prayerfulness. The Prophet disliked it. And he said that Allah never gets tired of giving reward, but you get tired. So the point is that Allah loves those things that you can do regularly, even if it's small. This is the report of the Prophet. So going to excesses is un-Islamic, whether it's fasting or whether it's praying. And there was a man, Abdul Ibn Amr, and the report, and we covered it last week, explained that before the report, a gay report, may Allah bless the mother of Amr and the father of Amr and the family of Amr, etc. So no disrespect is intended to either of these people. The name of the woman wasn't mentioned, but in the other report, Abdullah ibn Amr was a very quote-unquote famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the one who was mentioned. And he was young at the time, and so much of the Quran had been revealed up to that time, but enough such that the Prophet, he recited all that had been revealed in one night, and the Prophet didn't like that. And so the Prophet was telling him to spread the recitation out. And but the person was saying that I can do better than that, I can do better than that. And when it came, then the Prophet set a limit on him, said to do it in 7 days, I believe it was. I'm not looking at the notes, but that may be the number. But the other aspect was fasting. He wanted to fast continuously. And the Prophet, again, talked him down from that, until it got to the fast of Dawood, which the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved fasting is the fasting of Dawood. And Abdullah ibn Umar said that I can do better than that. And the Prophet told him, there is no better than that. There is no better than that. So he was enamored with his youth and his vitality, and that's a part of what his response in asking the Prophet to allow him to do more, I'm young and I'm vital, let me do more. And the Prophet said, no. And then when he got to his old age, because you make a commitment to do something, you say, this is what I'm going to do all my, then he got older. When he got older and you didn't have it, he didn't have, may Allah have mercy on him, radiallahu anhu. He didn't have that youth and vitality, but then you say you're still going to do this. You're going to fast one day and tell one day. You're going to read the whole Quran this period of time. And Amr, in his final days, he wished that he had taken the risk, had taken the ease that the Prophet had invited him to when he did. But when you get captured by an impulse, you think that impulse, in cases, you can think that impulse is a good impulse, but the shaitan, which we'll understand inshallah more later, will take advantage of what you don't know about that impulse. And you think it's a good impulse. But the shaitan, he knows the weakness in the urge. And he knows how to take the impulse and stretch it out and exaggerate it, but make you think that you are doing good by going to the excess, and that was Satan's plan, to make your righteousness a burden on you. And so just one example that you put just right in front of me, without going through the whole story, but how did Shaitan get Adam and his wife to slip and fall after they had been cast out? There's a longer story about how Iblis, who is now Shaitan, got back in the garden. But the point along with that is that he devised his plan, according to the reports, when he heard Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, he's looking at the paradise that he was created in, right? He said, I wish that this could last forever. And Shaitan perked up. Oh, there's something that he wants that he don't have. So let me create in him false desires. Shall I not lead you to a garden that never decays? That was his lead. That was his lead pitch. And the rest is our history, right? So that's just an example of that's the paradigm. That's the That's the model of how Shaitan can take a good impulse, exaggerate it, so that makes a good thing a bad thing. Things that come from the right, from the left, from before, from behind. So the Prophet's anger in that respect, I can see, and Allah knows best, that is coming from you being captured by an urge from Shaitan. And so when you look at the hadith here that we mentioned, none of you truly believe until his hawa, until his urges, his impulses, his desires follow what I have dropped. Okay? And so when we fast, this is a practice that relates to that need in all of us to control our urges, to control our passions. It's not just sexual passions. You can be a passion to be aesthetic. There's some people who are inclined to, I don't want to be bothered with nobody. I don't want nobody to be around. I don't want to be with people, No. The service of God is the service to people, right? So, but if you have that monastic that, along with the idea that family and relationships and progeneration is all a part of Allah's plan for humanity to get better and realize the aim that started in the Khalifa, all that requires family, and it requires children, and it requires everything that goes with family and children and the institutions that are needed, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't have the inclination and the commitment to that. One of the things in the hadith regarding Abdullah ibn Umar, the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I pray and I sleep, I fast and I break. And I marry women. I marry women and said, this is my sunnah. And whoever doesn't accept my sunnah is not of me. Right? So all of this is to say that this is all incorporated in the fasting itself and all these things connected with it. Now, continue just for a bit on just fasting. I make a separation in the title of this between fasting and Ramadan, because most of us, when we think about fasting, our first thought, that's natural, because we're reversed. It's natural. We say fasting, Ramadan. But fasting is before Ramadan. Fasting was before Ramadan. Before the revelation of the Quran, fasting. Kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba ala al-ladina min qablikum. It's prescribed for you just like it was prescribed for people before you. So fasting has always been a part, just like the fast of Daud mentioned in the hadith. Fasting has always been a part of service to Allah from a spiritual perspective. So some reports about just fasting and its superiority. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, Allah's messenger said, fasting is a shield or a screen. So the person observing fasting should avoid sexual relations with his wife and should not behave foolishly and impudently. And if somebody fights with him or abuses him, he should tell them twice, I'm fasting, I'm fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, by him in whose hand is my soul, the smell coming out of the mouth of a fasting person is better in the sight of Allah than the smell of musk. Allah says about fasting. Now, this is not just Ramadan. This is just fasting. So it's a little hot. So Allah says this about the fasting person. Speaking of the faster, he says, he has left his food, drink, and desires for my sake. This is a point that will be reinforced later when we speak of more elaborately on the shaitan's aspect of it, impulses particularly. All of these things are things that we have natural desires for. but to give them up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's like one of the biggest things that you can do in life as a human being. This is why Catholicism actually looks in the minds of so many to be so lofty in its spirituality, because the commitment is, you know, you pledge yourself, and so you become a nun, you become a priest, and no disrespect intended to all, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, it says they prescribed that for themselves. I didn't prescribe that for them. But still, when we think about a Mother Teresa, or we think about something else, any other quote-unquote saint, and, you know, God rest their soul and bless them for all the goodness that they brought into the world, and mashallah. And so there is a kind of uplift of that way of being in the eyes and the minds of the world. Why? Because they give these things up, vows of poverty, vows of celibacy, vows of that. But to do that with their whole life, and so it gets, how can you say, elevated in that way. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I didn't ask you for all that. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to do all that. Just fast. Fast. Fast with that in mind. Fast with the respect and the recognition that you're giving over one of the several of the most powerful urges in you: sleep, getting up early, going to bed later, praying at the time before it's time to go to bed, and praying at the time just as you're waking up, the time when your body is saying, oh, no, not now. No. And you tell that body, say, no, this is what's up. This is what we're doing. Get up. We're going to rest good together when we finish. But for right now, this is what we're doing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing that in us, he gave all that up for me. Fasting is for me. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And I will reward the faster. Look how beautiful. This is just regular fast now. I will reward the faster. Allah is saying, there's nothing in the world that can really give this one the true value of that personal sacrifice. And he says, so I will reward the fasting person for it, and the reward of good deeds is multiplied 10 times, right? We can pick that apart quite a bit, but we're not going to do it. I think I'm not going to do it. But let me say just one quick thing. And the reward of good deeds is multiplied 10 times. I do have a lot of numbers coming, and perhaps it'll be in the second part. I don't know. Okay. So fasting is a good deed, right? Fasting is a good deed. So then he's saying the reward for good deeds is 10 times. But then when you do good deeds while you're fasting, that's a multiplied good deed. So it's like fasting is one. And then to do good deeds while you're fasting, that gets multiplied. And the good deeds are multiplied 10 times. So you can see how you start losing count. The hadith on fasting, all of these are hadith on fasting. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, he reported that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever fasts one day in the way of Allah, Allah will move his face away from the hellfire by a distance of 70 years. Whoever fasts one day, we haven't got to the Ramadan pieces yet. We're just talking about fasting. Whoever fasts one day, they move the hellfire away from their face 70 years. Also, one of the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu, he recorded and he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah, tell me a deed to do. Understand that when the companions would ask that question, they're saying, I want that will give me a key to paradise. They ask questions about what's going to do me in. what's the, tell me something. It wasn't like, you know, oh, man, I ain't got nothing to do today. Give me something to do. No. I want to give to Jannah. I want the forgiveness of my sin. I want the grace of Allah. I want the protection of Allah. So when they asked that question, the Prophet understood the full magnitude of the question. And so the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you must fast, for there is nothing equal to it. He said, you want to get to paradise? Fast. We just listened to one of the reports where it says fasting one day moves hell away from you 70 years. We don't believe in purgatory, so if you are not in hell, you must be in paradise. Fast, he says, for there's nothing equal to it. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, every action, this is he reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet said, every action of the son of Adam, every action a son of Adam does shall be multiplied. A good action by 10 times its value up to 700 times. The numbers are still floating around. He said the good deeds are reward. The reward for good deeds is multiplied 10 times, right? And in this one, he's saying good deeds are 10 times in value up to 700 times. And again, this is for all good deeds. Okay? Then Allah says, with the exception of fasting. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, just good deeds. Just be good. Do good deeds. And you're going to get a 10 to 700 multiple on good deeds. Period. Fasting. He said, except for fasting, Allah is speaking, which belongs to me, I will reward it accordingly. We're talking about one principle, one practice, one ritual, one in Al-Islam. Now, and I'm speaking about fasting. And you know, the first of our obligations, the first thing to be judged, of course, is salat in the judgment. First to be judged is salat. And you think about the power and the reward for fasting. Well, what does it mean for salat? I mean, in the full extension of it. Now think about that statement that the Quran, its revelation concludes with. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمة ورديت لكم الإسلام الدين. This day have I perfected for you your way of life and have completed my favor on you. And I have preferred for you Al-Islam as your way of life. And then to be guided to this way of life. Come on, you got friends, I got friends. Y'all know what you did, I know what I did. Why are you a Muslim and they're not? What was so much better about you than all your partners? To say, man, I'm going to be a Muslim. You know, we weren't saying it right. I'm going to be a Muslim. Well, you know they're crazy, they kill you, you know, you can't get in, you can't get out. You get in, you can't get out. And you can't eat no pork no more, man. What's up with that, bro?
No, man, I'm gone, man. I'm out. I love you. This is me. And you hold to it, they respect you. You lose no respect. Whatever set you was on, you come back to it, they respect you for what you're about because they know you about that. Don't think you ain't going to get tested now. You go back around that set. If you have tested, and you deserve whatever happens. Speak Allah's forgiveness still. So enough said that. The point is that Allah's reward is just so immense. And this is why we should see. It's just a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are Muslims. In kuntum sadiqeen, if we are sincere. Because there is no rule that says you are always going to be a Muslim. You are always going to be a believer. No. It's by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said there are two occasions of joy for a fasting person. One, when he breaks his fast, and the other is when he meets his Lord. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. There's so many rewards, so many blessings, so many graces that Allah has in store for us. You know, many of us, you know, we come to the end of Ramadan and we expect, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to show us something, give us something, bless us with something. It's like a gift, like we give as gifts in Eid that Allah does. And he does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does, before, during, and after. So when we break the fast, alhamdulillah, dates never tasted so good. Water never tasted so good. Food never did. I was eating some vegetables yesterday, and it's like the vegetables just saying, "Now ain't that good?" The vegetables say, "Yeah, keep going." Alhamdulillah. So it's like everything is enhanced, and that's when you break the fast on this daily, right? And alhamdulillah, the Eid Mubarak, alhamdulillah. You know, you know how good you feel. You might not want to say it out loud, but man, I'm kind of glad Ramadan's over. You know, not me. I want Ramadan to keep going. Okay, well, all right, introduce you to Abdullah ibn Umar. The point is, though, in all seriousness, when you break your fast, and then the first time it's probably said, and when he meets his Lord, Allahu Akbar. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban-nar. Oh Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come. And save us from the chastisement of fire and amen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now to speak of Ramadan. During Ramadan, everything we talked about, every good thing, is magnified and multiplied, and maybe even for non-Muslims. I haven't drilled down and spent a lot of time on that thought, but I have a sense that when you look at Ramadan as a period of time in the universe of God, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know how in different seasons, it doesn't matter if a hypocrite or a criminal or a believer, or a non-believer, or an agnostic, if they plant a seed during that season, it's not going to fail to grow. Oh, you a hypocrite, so I ain't growing for you. I believe that it's a season in the universe of things where all good deeds get this multiplicity of reward. It's just that the Muslim believer gets more than all others, because we are consciously doing deeds for the sake of Allah and accepting restrictions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blessings of the fasting in the month of Ramadan. So now you're fasting and you're doing it in Ramadan are greater than the blessings of fasting at other times. And there's nothing equal to fasting as a means to paradise. So already, there's nothing greater than fasting, according to the reply of the Prophet to Abu Umama, radiallahu anhu. And now, bring that fasting over into Ramadan. So let's look at some of the reports connected with that. It's reported that whoever draws near to Allah during Ramadan will have a single characteristic from the characteristics of voluntary goodness, that's like it's sunnah, effectively. It will be like whoever performs an obligatory act in other times. So every act is elevated. The sunnah is elevated in its reward up to the fard, right? And whoever performs an obligatory act during Ramadan, he is like someone who performs 70 obligatory acts in other times. So you can go back to the 10 and to the 700 and all that, and then you put 70 on top of that for an act. An act, not the act of, an act of fard in Ramadan. Then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? You know, somebody give you it happens on Wall Street all the time. Let's put it like that. On Wall Street, they say, hey, you better go get you a few shares of XYZ Corporation because they're about to go IPO next week. Now, you didn't hear from me. They can't go empty out his bank account, load up on that stock, and when it go IPO, he's sitting, as we say, fat, right? So here we are in Ramadan. We're in a situation where there are those who are not doing what we're doing right now with that kind of reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us up on that. And go back to the next time, as I said, there are two times the fasting will be when he breaks his fast and when he meets his Lord. How rich in what makes the difference after passing from this life, will you be? How rich will you be? The Quran speaks of, it says, and good deeds are the best as reward and as hopes for reward. You stack up the good deeds and the rewards and the final pay is when you meet your Lord. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, do this and this is what's happening. Do this and this is what's happening. I know. And it's said of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're all familiar with it, that the Prophet was more generous than the fecundating wind during Ramadan. And Ramadan is just like, here, take it, here, oh, here, oh, 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 oh. Why? Even the Prophet said, I ask for forgiveness 70 times a day. And they say, oh, Prophet, you've been forgiven your sins in the past, in the present, and in the future. He said, well, shouldn't I be grateful? So you think about his place among human beings now and then. But then whenever Ramadan comes around, he's even more exaggerated, I'll say, in his giving and doing good deeds, et cetera, et cetera. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. My spirit this moment, it's like a child at Playland. It's like a child at, you know, these theme parks. What are they doing? What are those children doing? I mean, they are amped. They're running from ride X, ride Z, doing this, doing that. And I see that same spirit in this report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is the time. So remember that this where we read in the early report where it says fasting is for me, so I will reward the fasting person for the reward of good deeds, while fasting is multiplied by 10 times. And the other report that we read says every action of the son of Adam shall be multiplied. Good actions will be 10 times its value, up to 700 times. And Allah says, with the exception of fasting, fasting belongs to me, and I will reward it accordingly. So you can't even count. You can't count that. It's almost like a blank check. So those are during regular times, not during Ramadan. This is, look at one thing during regular times and think of its power. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. You've heard me say this often, except with the addition of وَهُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يُمِيتُ وَهُوَ حَيٌّ لَا يُمِيتُ. He's the one who lives and never dies. But the rest of it, or the expression of it all, says, there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Allah has no partners. To him belongs the dominion and the praise. He causes the life and the death, and he is living and never dies. In his hand is all good, and over all things he has power. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, Allah will write for him or her, pardon me, I got to go back to the prayer. This is an act that you do when you're entering into the marketplace. You can do it other times, mashallah, obviously. But he's saying that whoever, when they enter the marketplace, there's another teaching around why in this place. But whoever says this, entering into the marketplace, okay, you go into the mall. You walk into the mall. لا إله الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. And then you go on in the mall. If you do that to any marketplace, you can put it on the mini mall, put it on the grocery store, all of this. He said, whoever does that, Allah will write for him or her a million good deeds and erase a million bad deeds and raise him a million levels. It's like, Sadaqa Rasulullah. When we hear that, you know, watch out, because the shaitan wants you to put that down too. Shaitan says, oh man, you do it too much now, man. A million good deeds, a million sins forgiven, raised a million levels. I thought it was only 7 levels. Those 7 levels relate to the first heaven, and the first heaven is what you can see, including the visible universe. That's just the beginning. But moving past that, no. That's a little bitty number. And those are the kinds of thoughts that I follow, just to say, okay, well, what do you say to somebody who might have that kind of attitude? Well, here's one thing. And we're drawing to a conclusion. The Quran in the Surah Al-Isra, I believe, 17, in 36, the last part of the 36th ayah, it says, every act of hearing and of seeing or of thinking in your mind and feeling in your heart will be inquired into on the day of reckoning. Don't think it's just these outward things that we do that, oh, that's what's going to be good. Let me see, how many times did I drink some alcohol? How many times? No, not that. Every thought you've thought, every word you've said, every feeling you've had in your heart, every impulse that you've engaged, all that's going to be on the scale. Things are going to be weighed, as the Quran says, to a nicety. And says, whoever has an atom's weight of this and an atom's weight of that. So everything, seeing, thinking, feeling, hearing, everything. And Surah Al-Qaf 50, 16 through 18. It says, "It is we who created man, and we know the dark suggestions his soul makes to him, and we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. Behold, two guardian angels appointed to learn his doings, learning and noting them. One sits on the right and one on the left. Not a word does he utter, but there is a sentinel by him ready to note it. Every word is either going to go on the left or it's going to go on the right." And, you know, some of us do a whole lot of talking. And everything we say is not good. But all of that is going to be added to the scale. Now, I just chose to pick out one thing. We got about 5 minutes here. I chose to pick out one thing, just thoughts here, just thoughts, not the rest of it. So by estimates, we have about 60 to 70 thoughts per day. And 80 to 90% of them are negative, repetitive, and wrong. So I asked Siri to calculate for me. Y'all know Siri, don't you? I said, "Well, Siri, what's 365 times 65,000? She said, 23,725,000. So that's how many thoughts that one might have in a year. Given 365 as the number. Okay, so I say, well, let's move it out to somebody who lives to be 50 after puberty. So that puts you right in the range of the 62, 63, right? So Siri, what is 23,725,000 times 50? He said it's 1,186,250,000. This is just thought. Need to understand, we need to understand, some thoughts weigh more than others. We're talking about the scale. So since everything is going to be inquired, and here the prophet is telling us, when you do this one act, you're going to get rewarded 1 million good deeds, and you're going to have 1 million bad deeds taken off the scale and raised up a level of a million. I think we can use a million forgivenesses if we just talking about thoughts. But let me just run this to you so you just have some sense of the number involved. So that's just ballparking thoughts. We're talking about a 62-year-old 1.1, well, let's call it 1.9 billion thoughts. So, I mean, that's a good place to use that 1 million forgivenesses, right? But that doesn't include the acts of hearing. How many things have we listened to that we shouldn't have? How many things have we looked at that we shouldn't have in a lifetime? How many feelings have we had in our heart such that we're loving what we should hate and hating what we should love? I think that million is going to come in real handy. So this million applies to regular days. You get that walking in the marketplace. You get that on regular day. In Ramadan, you got to bring those other numbers, the 10 and the 700 and the 70s. Bring that in. Then how graceful is Allah? And how gracious and how grateful should we be? And I'll conclude today with this. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah said, "Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan due to faith and seeking reward, his previous sins will be forgiven. Whoever stands in prayer during Laylatul Qadr due to faith and seeking reward, his previous sins will be forgiven." Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. فله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. All our thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We thank you for turning our hearts to Al-Islam. We thank you for purifying us in our hearts, in our thinking, in our feelings. Oh Allah, forgive us those things that we have said that we shouldn't have said. Forgive us those thoughts that we have thought that we shouldn't have thought. Forgive us those things that we gave ear to that we should not have given ear to. Forgive us those things that we have done that we should not have done. Oh Allah, we thank you for the blessed month of Ramadan. Bless us to earn from this blessed month what you have promised us, and we know that you keep your promise. Bless us to keep the fast in the way that you have prescribed for us, and bless us to learn and earn from the benefit of what your Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has blessed us with by his model, by his example, and what we still have of what his life left for us. We beg this is the only for none can grant it withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma, ameen. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah. Brothers and sisters, I am going to go ahead and make a couple of announcements before we have the prayer. For those who may not know, our daughter, our dear, myself, and Yolanda Shuaib passed from this life last week. And inshallah, we're going to do janazah in absentia for her after these announcements are made. That is, and after the regular Jumu'ah salat. You can remain for that or not. Also, okay, Islamic studies, Arabic class goes on 9 to 11 a.m. The An-Nas Children's Islamic Institute for ages 6 to 13, that happens regularly also. And you can contact Dr. Peters, mshspeters@gmail.com for enrollment and other information. Also, we have the NAS Youth Business Loan Program. The National Working Youth ages 9 to 18 can apply for an interest-free business loan to start building a business. Also, contact Dr. Peters for that. We have birthdays. We have Jacob. Who's also April 20th his birthday. Khadija Ali, Nisa Bismillah. I don't say little Nisa. I don't know which one. No, we got two of them around here. Brother Steve, also, he's right there in the house. Brother Steve, happy birthday. And also to Jafira Yaba as well. Men's group will have their monthly conference call on this. I just mentioned with regard to the janazah, that's still going on. There will be janazah in Rolling Hills Memorial Park, but due to COVID restrictions, Rolling Hills only allows for 50 attendees. This is also a part of the protection for their employees as well. And so this is one of the additional reasons that we are doing the janazah in absentia as well. So mashallah, this will also give an opportunity for others. Okay. As far as the Eid activities are concerned, we are still going to make sure that our young people have an excellent time of remembrance. Whenever the Eid time comes about, we're not going to allow COVID or anything else to suppress that, even though we have to do it differently. But the idea is to make sure that they still have that experience during this time where they're not running around with each other and eating and having candy and playing games and the like. But we are putting together what will make that a blessed eve for them. So it requires $100. We would like to have $100 for those of you who want to support that happening, as we do every year. Those of you who know that we do it every year, we go to the family, we're seeking to have the same impact, especially on our young people during this Ramadan time, especially during this COVID situation. We don't want them to have sad memories that cause them to feel that they lost it all because of this time. We don't want them to have that kind. We want them to have the very opposite. So $100 in your sadaqah support for that, and remember the blessing of Ramadan. So we'll have the to-go iftar every weekend during Ramadan. You can start picking up your iftar meals at 6 o'clock. You can start picking them up here at 6 o'clock. You have to go to the gate out on the other side. And also the women's group of Masjid Waradin is having a pie sale, bean pie sale, I believe cookies up, and cookies, right? So let's call it a pastry sale. That's me. Okay. Yeah, I don't have to own it. That's me. Pastry sale. Alhamdulillah. So what you can do is there's sisters here from Masjid Waradin. If you do it right, if you approach them and say, I'd like to order my pie from you. If you don't know any sisters, you want to get the bean, you want to get a bean pie, you don't have a sister in mind, let's put it that way, then Amina, I'm going to allow them to go ahead and pay, I think it's $15 for that, whatever the listing is for that. They'll pay you for whatever cookies they want, pay you for whatever. Is the Rita Majid here? You know, maybe she's outside. Either way. I'm already all the way out of my lane. Let me go. Y'all want bean pies and cookies and the pastry sales? Give your money to Amina, and then she will direct it to the women's group accordingly. Somebody's got to tell me when the pies are going to be delivered, though.
Here.
Oh, they're here? Oh, there's pies out there. Oh, it's a done deal then. All right, so all this project, they going to be empty. I know. MashaAllah. And MashaAllah. So good. That's even better. You take a bean pie with you. And some cookies. And some cookies. Yeah. Y'all don't know what it feels like to be on troubling thin ice. MashaAllah. I thank you so much for your patience. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your consideration. I thank you for observing the restrictions that we suggested when the announcement of my daughter's passing happened. I didn't know how much I actually did need that space to be left open that way. I didn't know that. But coming to, and I do consider this now the end of that part of it, not the mourning and everything that goes with that, still very close to the surface, obviously. But I thank you. I know you love us. I know you love me. I know you love me. I know you love my wife. And those of you who knew her, I know you loved her, mashallah. So I thank you. And life goes on. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, We're going to make the janazah after. Of course, right now, we have to fulfill our first obligation, which is the Jummah wa Atma Salat. لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله سو واستقيم يرحمكم الله وتابكم الله make our roads straight and even. We often say leave no space between the shaitan and divided. I was reminded when I thought about that again in this COVID time, man Muhammad rahimahullah alayhi, he pointed out to us that our soul is bigger than the space that our body occupies. So to be physically touching is not the only way to be touching. Our souls are bigger than the space.
space that our bodies occupy. Some scientists, and it's true, will tell you that we have electromagnetic fields extending out from each of our bodies. If they could be seen, there would be much overlap already. So even though we're physically separated, we are definitely connected, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka an-na'budu wa Iyaka an-nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولا سوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يزدك يتيما فأوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عاملا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فهدي. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka an-na'budu wa Iyaka an-nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat wal-mustaqim, sirat wal-ladhina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووجعنا أنت وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانتظر وإلا ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
inshallah, those of you who are remain for the Janazah in absentia, you can stand now. Otherwise, anybody who's leaving, you want to make sure that you go out into the backyard. space is there for your ability to do that, or you can leave. Okay. So no disrespect in that. You have to go. For those of you who are in the back, some no bowing or kneeling because taking the new spaces that are there. Go ahead. Yeah. Our concern about numbers of rows, no need to concern ourselves with that. So the janazas, you know that there's no bowing and no sajda in it. It's comprised of basically four takbirs. It starts with the first one, and after that, you're making the same statements that you make when you begin your prayer, as the same subhanakallahumma, that part. And then next takbir, you're actually doing the salat al-Nabi, that is the prayer of Abraham, Allahumma sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad. And after the third one, you ask for the blessings upon the living, the dead, the present, the absent, the young ones, the old ones, and those that you cause to live, bless them to live as Muslims, and those that you cause to die, bless them to die as believers. And then we conclude with asking that Allah not deprive us of reward. Of their passing and not cause it to be a fitna for us. And Allah bless us and bless her in this case. And then after that, it's Asalaamu Alaikum Warahmatullah, Asalaamu Alaikum Warahmatullah, and that will end the prayer. So please sincerely put in your heart for her benefit and Allah grant her. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله may Allah accept our prayers may Allah grant her forgiveness السلام عليكم I'm going to